Prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're here again. We're looking at... I was just going to say concerning spirituals, but no, we're looking at Christian meetings, okay? We're looking at Christian meetings and trusting that this has been instructive to you as much as possible, okay? Right? One of the things we've considered is the fact that meetings are important. So we're trying to examine how does Scripture teach us to treat meetings. So if God went to Matthew's Gospel 18, right, go all the way to Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. Go to Matthew's Gospel 18 and look through verse 20. Wow, Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 20. Okay, Matthew's Gospel 18. Go all the way and look at verse 20. Now, so what it says there? It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." Right? Look at it one more time. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst." Now, very important facts there. Right? "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." Now, you know, on Sunday, we tried to look at a few verses before verse 20, and we spoke about how we relate to people who offend us, so to say, right? When we're upset or offended at people based on what people do to us, the Bible says, go to the person and tell him his fault, and it says, alone. Are we together, right? So the first person, no matter who, right, shouldn't be actually a party B, should be the first, you know, the person that offends, right? Then after, Bible says then two or three, right? Then after two, one or two rather, then after one or two, then that becomes, you know, the church, right? So we saw that in verse 17, and if he or she shall not hear them or neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let it be unto him, unto thee, as unto heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall bind in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall lose in heaven. Right, again, I say unto you, and if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, excuse me, there am I in their midst. Where am I in the midst of them? So it's very important for you to note, right, that God's word, right, says something around how we relate with people, or so to say, how we relate with, you know, injuries of the heart, or things that seems to, you know, pierce the heart, so to say, right? So we said that in my name, the name there will speak about, you know, function, reputation, or we've particularly paid attention to the word presence in this particular series, right? And we've looked through, you know, certain, you know, ways that the word name has been used over time in the series we are doing on the side in our different cells, right? So we also see that John 14, "My Father's house and many mansions," are spoken about the work of Jesus, what he's doing. We also spoke about the comforter, the another comforter that was spoken about in John 14, John 14, 16. I would say that the comforter should better be seen, or would better be seen as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, so to say, right? We looked at that from 1 John 2, looked all the way through Colossians 2, how in Christ the Godhead is dwelling or dwelleth bodily. We looked at that over the past few weeks, right? We looked at, you know, we also said something around how we need to pay attention to the use of second coming in theology. We said that there is eschatology, so to say. We said, spoke about eschatology and how you have to have a firm understanding of Christology to have a firm understanding of eschatology. Do you understand me? If your the ideology of Jesus and what Jesus is doing in the earth today and what he has done for us is not, you know, clean, you will not really have a clean doctrinal pass or clean doctrinal slant or logic, so to say, or eschatology. I was going to say study of eschatology, basically. So it's very important for us to have that, you know, core fundamentals, that core fundamentals. Okay, so we also spoke about how Moses knew about the ways of God, and you know, children of Israel experience his acts. So speaking about the miraculous that people could experience without even having to pay attention to God's plan. Now, on Sunday, we spoke about participating in meetings. We said there are two ways that one can participate in a meeting, all right? And you know, one of the things I want to call our attention to is that, you know, two ways, you know, it does not mean that you can choose either or the other. I'm saying that when you see people in meetings, they fall into either or the other category. They fall into one of two categories, right? So there is one category, there's a second category. I'm not saying that every believer should participate of both categories, right? So we said there is the participation by observation. Is one thing, and in the real sense, I said it's more like a figure of speech, because the word participating, you know, you're observing, you're not really participating as much. So you're participating by observation in the real sense, and you are actually not doing as much, but just looking, being like an onlooker. There was said there's participating by acting or responding and being on the edge. So there's a way we respond, there's a way we act, there's a way we respond, right? We spoke about that in passing, you know, on Sunday just before we teach. There's a way we respond. So when we're in church, right, anyone is asking, right? Anyone is, you know, asking a question that requires a response. Yeah, you respond, right? You know, interestingly, you seem to have a pastor who consistently asks questions. You know, a lot of times I don't even pay attention to it as much as possible until when I listen to myself, right? So you hear me say things like, are we here? Are we together? Right? Are we here? Are we together is a question, whilst it looks repeated, but it's a question that is being asked that needs a response. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So it needs a response. So it means that you don't just see it as a passing, you know, passing phase. Right? So if pastor says, are we here? You don't just say yes. You just say yes casually. Yeah. No. Yeah. You see, let me tell you something. You see, when it comes to Christian meetings, the one who leads or who's leading that meeting can determine what is tolerated and what is not tolerated in the meeting altogether. Now, I'm going to explain this better in the next series we are going to as a church. You know, we have Christian order as our next series. I think I've mentioned it once or twice here and there. But you know, we have Christian order into honor as one of the series we're going to be doing going forward, maybe next month or the month after, right? But you see, when there is a local church, right, it is the leadership of the church that determines the practice that is tolerated. Are we together? So if a pastor comes and says, when pastor is teaching and says, are we here? And he says, you can say, yes, boss. Well, that's their business. Are we together? And that's not your local church. Okay? So if you find another local church that the pastor says, just say yes, right? Or just say yeah. All right, and that's not your business. That's not your local church. Okay, if you find a church where the pastor says yes, bishop, yeah, that's not your business. That's not a local church. Are we together? Right. So you don't find yourself in a place where you are trying to struggle for things that do not need to be struggled around. You know, when you come into a local church, the best thing you need to ensure you have at the back of your mind is to drop, you know, as much as you need to drop. As practice, and pick as much as you need to pick as practice, right? That's why we are a family. Okay, so I spoke about it on Sunday, right? When we are teaching, when I'm teaching, right, or when your cell leader is teaching, you know, or one of the leaders in church is teaching, or a pastor, for instance, is teaching, right? Our practice as a church should be, yes, pastor, we're following. Yes, sir, we are following. Yes, ma, we are following. Yes, brother, we're following. Yes, yes. So are we here? Yes, sir. Yeah, should not be too heavy to come out from your mouth. Are we here? Yes, pastor, should not be too heavy to come out from your mouth. Yeah, if you find a place where they say, yeah, nigga, and you are happy with that, please feel free to join them. Are we together? But when it comes to the practice, there's a structure we can take, right? There's a pattern we can. I'm going to put about it properly, right? And one of the things I'm going to talk about is the calling of your pastors by nickname. Are we together? YBJ, YB, you know, or, you know, that's my nickname, or PG, even PG. I'm going to talk about it properly in the next series. Are we together? We can have a structure that actually stays with us as a local church and stick with it. Are we together? I'm going to talk about it in the next month. But, you know, I just, you know, spoke about that, you know, talking about where we're participating by acting, right? There's a way we act. Are we together? You know, you can walk into, I'm going to talk about it much. I don't know what took me there today, but you know, you can walk into church, right? And everyone is in church, and you say, good morning, pastor, good morning, everyone. right? Without having to say good, hi all. No, you don't do hi all when your pastor is there. Yeah, we will establish properly in the coming days. Yeah, there's good morning, pastor. There's good morning, all. There's good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. Good morning, pastor. Our together, right? It's very important we say these things. Our together. We're not just a place where we just come together and just, you know, act and just know. Yeah? If you rather a place where they call their pastor by the first name, happy are you, and feel free to start a church, open a church, or go there, join them. You know, but I'm going to talk about it. So there's something called participating. So if pastor is asking, for instance, are we here, right? Yes, pastor, we're here. You can say, yes, pastor, right? You can respond actively. Not, mumbling. No. Are we together? We'll talk about that, like I said, in the coming days, right? But there's a way to participate in meetings. There's a way you can be on the edge. I gave you that example on Sunday. I was talking about how someone wants to go on a run. Are we together, right? There's a posture you have when you're about to go on the run. Are we together? There's a posture you have, you know, when I was talking about a child, for instance, who wants to leave a seat where you've instructed him not to leave. Yeah, he gets himself or herself ready and puts her hand on the chair or his hand on the chair, right? Trying to leave or step away. Just trying to be on the edge. So in Christian meetings, we've understood that God will use men, right? So if God will use men, it means that God will use meeting places where men will be gathered, because man is God's method. So where men will be gathered will be a very, very important place or factor. So to say, you get the point, right? So it means that meetings are so important. So we can tolerate, we can talk, we can, you see, one of the things I've noticed is that, you know, there's anything some of you would have not come into God's palace to see, and you've seen as practices, but somewhere in your egocentric minds, in your ideologistic mind, or in whatever mind it is, right, you try to fight yourself against it. No, it's a local talk. We can have a practice. I work together. We can have a practice. You know, I've done more of this with the leaders over the last few months, into the last few years. I work together. Yeah, your pastor wishes you a happy birthday on the group chat, right? You just come and just say, thanks, everybody. Thanks, family, for making my day. We've done it over the years. I understand. We've not said it, but we'll say it. I work together, right? Just say, thanks, everyone. Thanks, family. Thanks, all. No, we can put a sense of order in the way we behave as a church. Like I said on Sunday, we're in fundamental phases of our lives, or as a church, rather, as a church. So it means that what we set as a precedence right now will determine, you know, the directions and angles we go. I work together. And somebody will say, people who are not, you know, from the African-speaking part of the world, you know, they just copy by the first name. I'm telling you that for free. Yeah, yeah. To be functional as a worker, there will be certain practices we will put in place. Yeah, it doesn't mean that, you know, people will not come to church and remain members for church. If you remain a member of the church, remain, you know, somebody who is coming to church and, you know, trying to even see if your heart is going to be there. Hell, you can say you can do anything you want to do. Are we together, right? Yeah, we'll still tolerate, accept. But there'll be certain people who would have some expectations from you. You're a worker, you're serving in one form or the other, you are a leader, you know, for instance. There'll be certain things we would say, we'll put as a template. Are we together? So ensure, you see, when you see practices, right, that are good, try to emulate them, right? Now, it's very difficult to get to the point of understanding what we mean by that are good. I understand, you know, you can say it differs from pillar to post. But just keep an eye, keep watching, keep observing, right? So you can be very active, very intentional, very deliberate. Are we together? So we said there's participating by acting. Are we together? There's participating by responding. There's participating by ensuring that you are being on the edge. A believer needs to be taught these things. That's the truth, right? And that's why we're doing a series like this, to teach it, to say it. Are we together, right? So that, why? So that we can make the best of our relationships. That's the truth. Are we together? So we can get the best out of our relationships. Are we together? So we can get the best out of our meetings. Are we together, right? So why don't we do certain practices in our local church? Why don't we do certain things in our local church, right? It's so that we can get the best from ourselves. So we are teaching ourselves from God's word and trying to ensure we get the best from amongst ourselves. Very, very, very important. Are we together, right? So we said that one of God's ways is that he will use assemblies or the coming together of people. Are we together? So what does a meeting mean? Yeah, what's the meaning of a meeting? A meeting means you and someone else comes together, right, in a place. Yeah. So a place can be anywhere. Are we together? So a meeting will mean. So we're looking at a series, Christian meetings. What are we saying? We are saying that Christian meetings will speak about a meeting of Christians, right? You don't have Christian meetings alone. Yet you meet with one another, for where two or three are gathered, yet there will need to be two for it to be called a meeting. You get the point? There will need to be two for it to be called a meeting, right? At the moment it is two, it has become a meeting. So it means we can expect and believe the supernatural. Are we together? We can expect and believe the supernatural, right? So we said that God made humans in pairs. We said that over time. And we said, when you look at the Genesis of scriptures, you know, Genesis chapter, you know, 1, 2, 3, where he speaks about how mankind was made as a pair, male and female. Now, it's, you know, a lot of us, we grow up, we see, or we usually would see that perspective as marriage fundamentally, you know. But one of the things we must pay attention to is the fact that much more than marriage is actually a show that a relationship is needed. Are we together? All right. So when you see Adam, you see Eve, right? On the back, once you have marriage on your mind, either in forefront or your back of your mind, right? You must understand that what is being portrayed is a pair, like a relationship. We use the example of a shoe where you buy Balenciaga and you buy Balenciaga. Remember that on Sunday, right? Yeah. You have original, So you don't go to a store and buy one leg. And we're together, right? You buy bootleg as a pair. That's how we are. We are expected to interact, to make ourselves complete. Like I would say, like we said over time, right? And we said that, you know, we are meant to complement ourselves. We are meant to help ourselves. I said something over one of the excerpts we had for the week, right? We said, there's something that is in you, or there's something that is in you that's for someone else. And there's something that is not in you, that it is with somebody else. It is in somebody else for you. Are we together? So relationships are so important. They are so important. Very, very, very important. Are we together? Right? So there is one person who is out there. We said there's no one person who has everything. Yeah? You will have something, I will have something. You will bring something, I will bring something. We complement ourselves. Are we together? Right? We complement ourselves. There will be order, there will be structure, there will be a way God has put his wisdom in all of that. But fundamentally, you must see it as we are to be in relationships for our good. So we need people. Altogether, we saw that we are baptized into one family, baptized into one, you know, kindred, baptized into one, you know, to Mount Zion. So we have come to existence needing one another. Yeah, we've come to existence needing one another. So you need another, another needs you. You need another, another needs you. Altogether, glory to God forevermore. Yeah, so God has put in someone else what you need. He would expect you to meet with that person. God will expect that because there is something else for you. Yeah, so that's why when you see when we go for believers meeting, right, there will be certain things certain people will say to us. Are we together? And in those things, they prepare us for the days ahead. Are we together? So we are to be dependent on ourselves. We are to be dependent on ourselves, right? It's God's idea. We function and live by relationships. We function, we live by relationships. Right? So our Christian life cannot be done in isolation. It can't be done alone. We've come into a family. So a man who is born again today is a man who comes to meet a family. Together, he comes to meet the family. So the concept of gatherings, the concept of coming together, is something that we said is essential for our living. Essential for our living. You also look at Acts chapter 1, verse 16. What was the criteria in picking someone to replace Judas? They said, wherefore, right, amongst these men, right, we need to choose from those who have accompanied or who have been with us, right, from the baptism of John. That means those who have been coming for meetings, they always come for meetings. We said there's an example, we have two examples of people in the local church. There are those that when they don't come to church, you ask, is everything all right? Are we together? And there are those when they come, you ask, is everything all right? Are we together? Is everything okay at home? Is everything all right at home? Don't be that person who you want to serve God. You know, some of us have, sometimes we polish it, but some of us have some ideologies of serving God from a place of comfort. Let me tell you, yeah, you cannot and should not serve God on your terms. The moment you are serving God on your terms, it ceases to be service. It ceases to be true service. Yeah, you don't serve God on your terms. You don't serve God from... Serving God will take your comfort a lot of times. It will take your comfort a lot of times. It will take your comfort a lot of times. So, you know, some of us want to have a best of two worlds. Yeah, the best of two worlds. We want to enjoy our lives, enjoy, the benefits of so many things, or the fun of being, a young person, and eventually still benefit. See, when you look through what the Bible teaches, you'll see fundamentally that you will need to leave your comfort zone in following Jesus. You will need to leave your comfort zone in service to Jesus. Altogether, one of the things we said as well is in us seeing your understanding of your relationship with God, we'll see it in your relationship with man. Now, slightly ended the meeting on Sunday by saying that even Jesus found himself in meetings altogether. Let's look at John 3. John 3. If it's not John 3, it's Luke 3. Luke 3. Let's look at Luke 3. Yes, it should be Luke 3. So I'm looking at Luke 3, and I'm going all the way to look at Luke 3, verse 9. Look at what it says. Then verse 12. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. Right? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he be of Christ or not. Now John answered unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one mightier than I cometh to latch, than I cometh. The latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in the exhortation preached he unto the people. So what was John doing? He was preaching unto people. So what was that? John was preaching unto people in a meeting. Okay? Yeah, John was preaching unto people in a meeting. Now look at verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. That means Jesus also attended the meeting. So Jesus was in the meeting of John. Are we together? So Jesus as well went for meetings. Now, Jesus hosted meetings. Jesus went for meetings. Right, so Jesus will find himself in the baptism of John. Right, he was stopped. If you look through Luke 24, hold your hands in Luke 3 and go to Luke 2. Hold your hands in Luke 3 and look at Luke. Look at Luke 2, 46. Luke 2, 46. Right? Luke 2, 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. So Jesus was in the temple. What will you say? Jesus was in a meeting. Altogether, Jesus was in a meeting. Are we together? Jesus was in a meeting. So there's such a thing as gatherings, meetings. So Jesus in the meeting in Luke 12, in Luke 2, we see Luke 3, Jesus attended the meeting of John the Baptist. He was there. He was there, right? And the meeting of John the Baptist was that meeting that we now see the ordination of Jesus into ministry. Are we together? That's why you see that even when John the Baptist got into the flesh and got offended, right? And he said certain things to the disciples of Jesus, and they sent back to him, right? Jesus could not get upset or to respond at the level of John the Baptist, because invalidating John's ministry would have been for Jesus to invalidate, let me say differently. Jesus invalidating the ministry of John the Baptist would have been a way of him invalidating his own ministry. Are we together? Yeah. He was going to invalidate his own ministry. He invalidated the work, the ministry, the function of John in his life. But the truth is that Jesus found himself in that meeting. Are we together? Right? He found himself in that meeting. So it means that, mind you, Luke 3 is where the apostles in Acts 1 were speaking about what he said, Wherefore among these men who have complained with us from the baptism of John. That means they were in that baptismal meeting, are we together? And from that moment, they continued attending meetings. Are we together? Right? They continued attending meetings. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, 57. Are we together? Luke 9, 57. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I was together, right? And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. I was together, and birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me, rather. But he said, Lord, suffer me, allow me first to go bury my father. I was together, and Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. Like I tell you, if people use the words of Jesus to respond to people today, they will say the pastor doesn't have how do you call it again, emotional intelligence, EI. Right? Yeah. So it says, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom. So for the believer, what is the most important? Yeah, the most important is that has to do with the kingdom. Okay, right. So he says, and another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first bid farewell to my family. Right? Let me just go say bye-bye to my, you know, my father, my mother, my husband, you know, my wife, and my kids and my relatives and everything. And Jesus said, what? Yeah. No man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Altogether, right? So if you look through this, you will see that the moment Jesus started walking with people, he now started having meetings with them consistently. We said something on Sunday as well. We said that, you know, if you look consistently through the ministry of Jesus, you'll find out that he was having most of the things he will say will be in meeting places amongst people. Altogether, amongst people. Look at Luke 24. Last week, we looked at the varieties of meetings. We'll do that again today, right? But let's just pay a little attention to a few things today before we get there. So look at Luke 24 again, verse 46. I would get that. Luke 24:46, right? You know, Paul would mention, right, that ye ought to know how you behave yourself. I would get that, right? So it means that because the meeting is sacred, there's a way we behave ourselves with a lot of sacredness. Altogether, right? There's a way we behave ourselves with a lot of sacredness. You know, in our world today, we just like frivolities. Altogether, right? You know, we just like frivolities. We want to express our carnality in the local church. Altogether, you know, there's this very popular song that, you know, people sing right now. That's not that you are crazy. It's God you are praising, right? Yeah. And I saw a video of a man who went to go and carry, you know, the pulpit of the church and put on his head and was running around with his head. Is that not stupidity? Genesis, that's not someone that is crazy. That's not someone that needs to go to hospital. Altogether. You understand? I would just feel like because it's in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Yeah? You went to go and carry the pulpit of the church and put your head and you're running around. I say, it's not that you are crazy, you are praising God. My dear. Yeah? Yeah. So, you know, when you put a lot of, you know, importance to meetings, there's a way you behave, there's a way you will act. Certain things you will do, certain things you will not do. I went together, so we'll talk about it more in the coming series right now. I don't know why it's coming into our series today, but you know, we just trust God's spirit that, you know, we're being led this beautiful evening. So if you look at Luke 24, it says verse 46, right? Thus it is written, right? And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, right? And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Now, if you look at verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But look at what it says. But tarry ye. The word there, tarry ye, just simply means to wait. Right? Yeah. You know, the song that says, how long can you wait? Yeah. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. A meeting place. People having a meeting. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So Jesus asked them to tarry in Jerusalem. He asked them to tarry in a place. There's something about places. We saw on Sunday or two Sundays ago, Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 17 and verse 16 and 17, right? That Jesus appointed a place that they should meet him. Christian meetings. So you see that Jesus appointing a place that they should meet him is what you call special meeting. I hope you get the point, right? That's special meeting. Yeah, you see, when Jesus says study in Jerusalem, that's special meeting. How do you know? You will see the offshoot of what happened in Luke 24:49. The offshoot is what you have in Acts 2, right? Which is a record-breaking scenario amongst the church or within the church. That's a special meeting. And we're together, right? So every Christian meeting is a special meeting. But amongst the special meetings, there are special meetings. Please write that in your notes. Every Christian meeting is special. Are we together? Every Christian meeting is special. But amongst the special meetings, there are special meetings. There are definite particular meetings where, you know, the Holy Ghost can give directions on certain conversations. Are we together? Right? So every meeting, so you don't behave, you don't treat every meeting as non-special because it's not a special meeting. Are we together? Yeah? Do you get what I just said? You don't treat your regular Sunday midweek services as a non-special meeting because it is not called a special meeting. No, every meeting with believers. See, every believers meeting, that is wherever two or three are gathered. I'm not saying believers meeting as far, let me say that differently. Yeah, every meeting where believers gather is a special meeting. Are we together? The place where believers gather in the name is a special meeting, is a special place. Are we together, right? You see, needs are met, directions given, clarity given. Oh, what joy it is, right, that we can benefit from our relationships in meetings, in places. Hallelujah. Yeah, in meetings, in places. Are we together, right? Look at Acts 2. Look at what that happens in Acts 2. Acts 2, 1. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. All together, Acts 2, 1. Now, so we've done Acts 1. We look at Acts 1, side by side with Luke 24, even though it was two meetings, right? But the point of that is just that, the point of that is just, you know, to say that Jesus asked them to stay in a place, to meet them in a place, or to tarry in Jerusalem, so to say. All together. Now, on the back of the tarrying, the Bible says in Acts 1, we see that they were praying. All together, they were praying. They were praying. They were praying. Now, that now led into what you have in Acts 2. They were praying by utterances, they replaced Judas, then Acts 2 now comes. So look at Acts 2, the one. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, right? Day of Pentecost. Remember, it will be a ceremony that is usually done. However, this day of Pentecost is a special day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Yeah, this day of Pentecost is a special day of Pentecost because in this day of Pentecost, or on this day of Pentecost, there was the narrative of the Holy Ghost falling. Yeah, and what did I just do? I took my Acts 10, right, Peter's narrative, as a lens in Acts 2, okay? Yeah, and whilst Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. Are we together? So on a casual day of Pentecost, there's something called the Holy Ghost fell, right? So we can have meetings where the Holy Ghost will fall. You see the point? See, let me tell you something. Yeah, you might not know the meeting where the Holy Ghost will fall. But you prepare for every meeting expecting the Holy Ghost to fall. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you get that? Yeah. You might not know. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that you might not be able to, you know, you can, like I would always say, the moment you know everything about your life, everything about your future, you are no longer a human being. You're no longer a human being. Even me. Yeah. I'm no longer a human being. Anybody who knows every detail of tomorrow, right, the days ahead, is no longer a human being. Right, so that's why we have ourselves, are we together, to help bring clarity on conversations, bring direction. Then we'll not have ourselves for Holy Ghost to fall in our midst. You get the point, right? So when the Pentecost fully come, they were all in one. Look at it carefully. They were all together with one accord in one place. That means what you see as the practice in that meeting was uniform to all. You could find common denominators in their approach to that meeting. You didn't get the point, right? You will find, he says, when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord. So there are two ones there. There is one accord, there is one place. That means people can be in one place and not in one accord. But look, let's just say in Acts that they were with one accord in one place. You got the point? They were with one accord in one place. Yeah. So what do we call that? We call that, right, a special meeting. Or we say it's a special Christian meeting. Are we together? Right? They were there together. So it means that what you observe is they were there together. They would have come together at the same time. They would have attended the meeting together, right? You probably not have a case where people came at 9. Let's say the meeting was 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. That's for last time. Yeah, imagine the meeting is 10 o'clock, and some people come at 9 o'clock, some people come at 10 o'clock, people come at 11 o'clock. You will have that record there. The moment that becomes a record, you've twisted the narrative of one accord in one place.
They were in one accord. They were there together. No late coming. They were there. They treated with premium. Ultimate premium. All together. It's only in our world where we find people, you know, who want to act and come to church at will when they want to. All together. When you just feel like, no. There's such a thing called coming to church when we say we'll be in church. All together. Right? Such a thing called coming to church when we say we will be in church. Right? Yeah? Then we'll start service when we say we will start service. All together. Right? That's order. Yeah? It's important. Yeah? That's order. Yeah? Don't be the person who is known for coming to church late. Right? Why do you come to church late? It's just the only reason why you come to church late is because you don't value the Christian faith. It's simple. Any human being you see going to church late does not value the Christian faith. Yeah? And if you're listening to me today, bless your heart. God gives you the wisdom and direction as to how to amend the coming days. Yeah? Any Christian, anybody you see, yeah? When we are singing, and if they come late and they join us singing, I love you forever, you have the right to put that, shut your mouth. Get your hand up. I didn't say it's grand, I'm just joking, right? But you can do that in your mind. Anyways, I didn't send you that. Are we together? That's not your responsibility. That's my responsibility. Are we together? But, you know, it's almost as if you are lying. Why are you lying? You don't go to the airport late. You don't go for interviews late. Are we together? Right? You don't. In fact, you know how you go for interviews. You see, there's no day where, for any reason, right, you see me going to church and I'm scrolling. You can't catch me that way. No, you can't. Yeah, you don't see me going to church and strolling. Are we together? Yeah, I don't go to church and I'm just bouncing. What am I bouncing for? I'm going for a special meeting. Are we together? I know what can happen in that meeting. I know the possibilities of the spirit that can be experienced in that meeting. Now, talk more of when you are late. When you are late. Are we together? Talk more of when you are late. You know, you can hop up, you can hurry up. If he talks to you now, you say, no, leave us already. Are we the first to kill Jesus? Yeah, are we the first to serve Jesus? No, this is my own pace. So, yeah, you should have a sense of regard, particularly for instance, if the service is starting or it has started. Now, I'm saying there might be reasons why you come late. Let's say, for instance, your car broke down, the bus delayed, the train delayed. But let it be that as you're even approaching church, right, you are hopping, you are running, you are rushing. Not you are stoning. I saw someone a few weeks ago, right? Not a few, a couple months ago, actually, right? You are running, you are late to church, you are taking selfie. Like prayer has started, you are taking selfie. Irresponsibility is that? I don't even know the word to even use. Yeah? What kind of irresponsibility is that? Altogether, so just started, you are still making a phone call. Who are you talking to? You understand? Have a sense of what urgency. Urgency for meetings. Urgency for meetings. You see, what you might be looking for your life might start at the beginning of a service. You know, there are days, for instance, will come to and I start holding the mic, I'll have the believers put it right away. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Yeah, don't be the one. I was speaking to a very precious friend of mine, you know, a couple, you know, days ago, right? You know, and I was saying something around how, you know, some of us, we try to want to help God determine how he can minister or bless us through others. And I gave an example, and I said, you know how you, I don't know if you'd have heard this kind of story, but you heard the story of a woman who, for instance, I think one even was trending recently. Right, a woman. So let me tell you the one I used to hear a couple years ago. Let's say there was a woman, for instance, who was looking for the fruit of the womb, right? And the pastor saw that the day that an angel brought a supernatural baby for that woman to get pregnant, the lady was not in church, and the angel that brought the baby took the baby back because the woman was not in church. You know, and I saw people, even me, some years ago, I would say, the gift of God without repentance. The gift of God without repentance. You see my mouth? Yeah? Now, you can try to explain your theology as the best theology. Yeah? But I'm trying to tell you, there are meetings you miss something you don't get in 10 years. I can tell you that for free. There are meetings you will miss one thing, and in 10 years you will do personal prayer, personal devotion, personal, and you will not get it. It's God's wisdom. It's what it is. It's what it is. Some people today are looking for what they should have gotten altogether 10, 20 years ago. They will today go and dump on me and do this, but they missed the meeting. A meeting they should not have missed. A meeting that they could have. Do you understand? I'm going to talk about the, you know, the particular example that, you know, we spoke about on that call on Sunday, right? But I'm trying to explain that that's a possibility. It happens. Yeah. So you must treat every Christian meeting as special. You say, what is it? It's not just a service. No, it's a special meeting. But like I said, amongst the special meetings, there will be special meetings. So they were all together with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. No late coming. Are we together? Yeah, no late coming. No late coming. You're coming late, you're running behind schedule. You hurry up. You can run, you can jog. Are we together? Yeah, you that runs to go and meet your plane from taking off when you are late because a bus delayed you. You cannot run to church. That's the height of foolishness for a believer. Yeah, that's the height of foolishness for a believer. When you can treat, you know, things carnal, things mundane with much more vim, you know, what's the word? There's a word we use, right? With much more sacredness than the things of God. Are we together? What happens to your leg? Will you come and hop up? Get to church. Are we together? Right? I saw a video of a church. Yes. I saw a video of a church in Abuja, Dunamis. And I saw that before this church started, right? And the people were switching services. And people that were running, coming late from their buses were running into the church. Right? You with your knowledge, what do you know? Christos, Bethel, Beith, that's what you know. Eh? He said this one. They don't know. They don't know that they... I don't go into the presence. I come with the presence. You're upset, my brother. Yeah. You know, I taught you that earlier on. Yeah. There's the presence of God you carry. There's that which we come into. We'll be together. You know, I don't run into his presence, right? I don't jog into his presence. I just, you know, because I bring the presence to a place. Madam or God, get serious. I was together. You know, like I said, it's very easy for us to push narratives or some extremes to tackle some fundamental basic traits that a believer should have. All together. So because you know it's a Christian meeting, because you know it's a Christian gathering, church is starting at 10, your training was delayed, your bus, your car broke down, you mistakenly, one coincidentally woke up late, or someone delayed you for whatever reason, one traffic light spoiled your day, or one car broke down and spoiled the road. Are we together? Okay, that's good. Keep coming to church. But the moment you get to a place where you can get hopping, are we together? Right, yeah. Once you get there, right, you'll be ahead. Right, get double up. Very, very important. All together, right. So there are meetings you treat with a lot of sacredness, and like I said, that should be your approach to every meeting. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So there are meetings you treat with sacredness. However, that's your approach to every meeting. You treat every meeting with sacredness. All together. Very important. I'll always tell you an example of, you know, 2019 altogether, right? And in the afternoon session at Carrie's Camp meeting, right? I was so pressed, wanting to get out of the auditorium. I was together. And that's the first and only time that my pastor has called my name on the stage in the midst of thousands to lay hands on me. Altogether. Until today, the words he spoke, I still saw the picture. I still look at the picture almost every other month. I go back to that picture, look at it. I go back to the words that were written, look at it. I wore a black and a red striped shirt, black and white. I went together. I still have the picture that he took, right? And imagine I said I was pressed. And I said, I could not hold it. Yeah? That's why I always tell you, don't start your day with coffee on Sunday. Are we together? Don't start your day with juice on Sunday. Let's assume you eventually even do it. Yeah? Try to go to the bathroom, empty your bowels, and come into church and get your consecration uptight. Very important. Very important. Are we together? Let me tell you. See, you are here today because of meetings I've attended in the past. Are we together? Yeah? You are here today because of meetings. I'm a product of meetings. Altogether, right? So if you are going to, you know, get blessed and get, you know, instructed by my ministry, it is because I was in meetings. I have been in meetings. Altogether, I have been in meetings, right? I have been in attendance in special meetings where God is, or where God was, or where God manifested. Let me tell you something about special meetings. Do you know that special meetings is not only about how accurate your doctrine can be? After all, who is actually even accurate in doctrine? Seller. Yep. Yep. Everybody is growing. Everybody is learning. Everybody is unlearning and relearning. Yeah, you see, their meat is. I remember one of the things my dad did for me. Bless my dad, bless my mom. You know, from 2013 for almost 5, 6 years thereabouts. You know, there was this particular meeting that I was coming into the UK for, particularly every summer. Right now, when I look back in retrospect, you know, I have two options. I can say, those people they were teaching. But the truth is, I look back, I found one of my notes I wrote in one of those meetings, and I saw that, wow, these were certain things that God said into my earrings, into my heart, into my ears. I went together. I remember there was a meeting in Abuja, right? There was a meeting in Abuja, Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, right? You know, and I went there. So I sat somewhere in front, and he was on the stage, and he looked at me, and he just pointed at me, you know, and he just came to me. So I've learned the act of being on the edge. This was probably 6 years ago, there about 7 years ago, right? So I've learned the art of being on the edge, right? And the moment he looked at me, he walked up the stage and walked towards me, right? And he stood in front of me. Straight away, my microphone was on. I went together. Yeah, if you come to my house, I can show you the recording. I still have the recording on my laptop. I still listen to it. I went together. Moment he just saw me, and he just gave a word of knowledge, and he just oh gracious Father, he just gave a word of knowledge, and he gave anything. So it was after the meeting, because he had not met me at the time, right? He knew my dad, he knew my parents. It was after the meeting, and I said, "I'm Pastor Yusuf's son." He said, "Oh, no wonder." He now further re-explained the things he saw by word of knowledge. Oh, what a blessed meeting. Oh, what a blessed meeting. Oh, dear saint, I'm a product of meeting. I don't joke with meetings. And you see, when I see people joke with meeting, it irritates me, it disgusts me. You can't mean much to me. That's the truth. You can't mean much to me if you joke with meetings. You can't. It's impossible. You can't. It doesn't make any sense. You can't mean much to me, no matter how much you mean in this world. If you don't prioritize, if you joke with meetings, you think they are casual. Altogether, so I can keep listening and listening. Special meetings. I have that recording. In fact, I'm going to listen to you after this teaching again, because the words that were spoken are things I'm seeing in my life. And you know, and the funny thing is, I've not even started walking in those words, but I'm living in the fulfillment of words that were spoken into my life in a Christian meeting, God will use men, no, dear saints. God will use men. Altogether, I remember I was talking with, I can't remember who I was talking with, but I think probably, you know, I was just talking with some couple of people, you know, and they were asking me a question around if, you know, this particular man comes into the city and I can see him, will I see him? Oh, my gracious Father, right? You see, God's method is man. God's method is man. Yeah. You might think they don't know what you know, but they have what you don't have. I assure you. They have what you don't have. Yeah. So don't allow the small knowledge you know make you feel like you've got everything. My dear brother, you've not got everything. Yeah, you've not got everything. Like I said, God will put deposits of things he wants for you in another. I can never forget that meeting. I'm just bringing my mind back to that special meeting, right? It happened in KICC in Abuja, right? And for some reason, I just said I was going to attend that meeting. And I was there. And he just looked at me and he just gave a word of knowledge, accurate words of knowledge. Right, and I said, "Yes, I'm the one." Right, "Yes, I'm the one." And I started talking. I started saying words. And saying, "I see those words are the words that are keeping me to today. That the words that I'm running with today. They are words that remind myself around." Right, that's how to be intelligent. That's how to be smart. And we're together. Yeah, you have it recorded. You have it written down. Yeah, someone gives you knowledge, word of knowledge. Yeah, there's something about you. This is what's happening. That's what's happening. You say, "Okay, you put it in your head." Let me tell you something. You cannot store everything in your head. Your head is not that sharp of a place to store things. Yeah, that's why you hear people say the faintest pen is sharper than the brightest brain. Yeah, how many things do you want to keep in your head? How many? Altogether. So if you're in a meeting, someone says there's somebody who is in this meeting who knows somebody around this thing. When they give you the information, write it down. When if you are not clear, write on the spot, write it down and go back. In fact, you can ask the person, right? Please, can you come again and write it down? Can you come again and write it down? You know. The same, you know, call I was talking about a couple of days ago. We're having a conversation around, you know, special meeting or meetings rather, where people are identified by the Spirit. Are we together, right? You know, I've been in meetings where I see things by the Spirit, and in seeing things by the Spirit, nobody acknowledges it, right? But there's something else I was supposed to say, but I did not say because nobody acknowledged it. Now, one of the things I've learned to do, and I'm learning to do over time, is regardless, just say it. But you know, there's some things that will be said, and because of your ego, you might think you don't want them to know it is you. But you know, right, when you are in that meeting, it's not the same as after the meeting. It's not the same. I'll talk that more on Sunday. Right? So they were together in one accord, one mindset, in one place. All together. In one place. In one place. In one place. So it's wise for you not to despise God's wisdom. Not to despise God's plan. All together. So why do we have meetings? Why do we have special meetings? We're going to have a special meeting this year. We look forward to being blessed by the ministry of my pastor. All together, right? I'm preparing your mind as to how to receive from that meeting. All together. Yeah, there's a mode you have. I'm trying to say your attitude towards meetings will be consistent, should be uniform. Yeah, but the truth is that your preparation towards every meeting will not be the same. I'm going to get there towards the end of this teaching, right? And it will not be the same. Don't be the same. You know, for instance, I don't necessarily fast every day. I've not gotten there. Right before every Sunday service, right? But when I have a special meeting, like you know, Rekindle, for instance, or In Christed, I take out days before to fast and to pray. All together. When I'm going for a special meeting, for instance, right, I take out days before to fast and to pray. You get the point? Yeah, that's how to prepare for meetings. So we're going to do that as well. And I admonish you as well. When we have our church prayer and fasting, you know, we can have In Christed meeting. And once we do our prayer and fasting for every day for In Christed meeting, right? Yeah, you will take out your own time to pray your own prayer ahead of the meeting for your own self. You know, you can do that. Yeah, you know, you can do that. Right? But see, the people who receive the most from meetings are those who prepare for the meeting. Write that in your notes. The people who receive the most from meetings are those, the people who benefit the most from meetings are those who prepared, who go prepared for the meeting. All together, right? So don't despise God's wisdom. Yeah? Don't despise God's wisdom. You see, let me say something. Don't allow outside life to be more beneficial of the things you can receive from your relationship with the people in the local church and people around you. I'll say one more time. Don't allow outsiders benefit from the people you can receive within your relationship, within your local church, that people are around, and that are around you, so to say. Let me say that differently. I'm saying, you know, it's easy, right, to get into over familiarity with ourselves, what we call see finish. It happens. Let me say something. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. It can. It can. It can. It can. Altogether, right? So don't, you are the one that will lose. If you have a, think about it, you have a child or let's use local church right now. Imagine you have a member, for instance, who has given himself or herself to gifts of utterances and also revelation by the Spirit, right? Right? And there are certain things that they are ministering to you in a believer's meeting, right? But you're not this person. That's also, she'll retire, she'll be okay. Meanwhile, there are people who are outside that local church who are benefiting more. Let me say this to you. Now, I was thinking about something. Once I went for the last retreat, one of the things God, you know, was trying to point my attention to was, you see, in my parents' ministry, I found out that people who benefited more from the gifts and the anointing over the life of my father were majorly people who were outside the church. Yeah. And you know, I made a resolution to myself that, you see, it's something that can happen consistently and can repeat itself in my ministry. But I made a resolution to myself that I will try my best as much as possible to ensure I teach and flush out those things that will cause or that causes dishonor in our hearts. Yeah. Yeah. We have more people outside of the local church who benefited more from the gift, the anointing, the ministry of my father, more people outside the local church. You see, the only reason is dishonor. The only reason is over familiarity. See finish. Over familiarity. See finish. All together. Praise God. Well, they were together with one accord. Let this teaching and this meeting instruct you. Let it instruct you. I beg you. Let it instruct you. Right? They were gathered together in one place, one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now we said that one of the things you understand in Acts 2 is that people that were not in that meeting, no matter how much they describe it, you see, we're in 2025 today, you see different theologians with different schools of thought in Acts 2. They said some of them say no, they saw supernatural. Some say no, it was a figure of speech. Some say no, they saw the fire physically. You see, 3 to 5 different schools of thought in Acts 2. No matter what you say, you were not there. You remember that teaching, right? If you were not there, you were not there. There are things that are rather felt than felt. You remember I said that, right? If you were not there, you were not there. If you are not there, you are not there. So no matter how much you read Acts 2 today, you cannot have a vivid experience of what the people experienced by reading. No, you can't. You can't. You can't. They were the ones that were there. They were there. Now, please write this in your note and put a full asterisk on it. Write this in your notes. No two meetings are the same. Praise God. Write this in your notes. No two meetings are the same. No two. No two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. Very important. No two meetings are the same. Yeah? So it's important to treat every meeting. No two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, no two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. Important to always put that at the forefront of your mind. You see, when you miss church, when you miss a Christian meeting, a Christian gathering, particularly that of a local church, right? You see, there's a way you should feel. Don't make it so normal that you don't, nothing pricks you about how you missed something. No. Yeah. The moment that is where your heart is in the wrong place. Right? Yeah. Don't miss meetings and not have, I'm not saying condemn yourself, guilt trip yourself, or no. I'm trying to say you should have a pricking in your heart that, oh, I wish I didn't. I wish I didn't. You know, there's some meetings, for instance, maybe as a result of, you know, whatever reason it is, I can't travel for, you know, I can't be there, you know, maybe it could be funds, it could be, you know, it could be anything really, you know. And when I'm watching it, in my heart, I'm like, I wish I was here. I wish I was here. That was together, right? I'm saying it pricks me. Right, there are definite special ones. So, for instance, we are growing. I'm getting myself to a place where, you know, there are specific in almost 6-7 years right now. There are specific meetings I've never missed. I don't miss it. Right, there are specific meetings I go. Right, and in going there, my heart is pricking me, and I'm trusting God for more provision, more funds, more way to be able to attend these meetings consistently. Are we together? But I'm trying to say, in my mind, I know no two meetings are the same. Let me say it differently. You know how when you have a meeting and there are different sessions, no two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. No. No two meetings are the same. No two meetings are the same. I gave an example of the last WCC when, you know, I had seen in the vision, I just saw that, you know, pastor laid hands on me separately. You know, and I thought he did it when he did it generally. You know, and the last session that was 1 hour long, right? 1 hour long. I think it started at 5:30 or five, maybe six, 5 to 6 or 6 to 7. I can't remember. Right? And in that 1 hour session, right? They prayed in that session. They sang in that session. The pastor admonished in that session. They collected offering in that session. They sang family song in 1 hour. And in that same 1 hour, hands were laid on me specifically, particularly. Altogether, right? Particularly, I remember in 2021, right? I was going for Christ Camp meeting, right? And while I was going there, I was just taking out time to pray, and I took out time to fast and pray, you know. And just as a flash, I saw that, you know, pastor laid hands on me wearing a green cloth. You'd have heard me say this severally, right? It was wearing a green native. I just saw that he was wearing a green native. Okay, so definitely, I attended the first session. Then I said, oh, and the moment he walked into church with the green native, I knew that was a meeting. I knew that was a meeting. Now, ideally, you know, there'll be specific sessions where pastor will lay hands on pastors, right? But in that particular one, he just said there's somebody here who's actually prompting me. There's somebody here who wanted me to lay hands on them in this session. Who is the somebody here? That's why you are here. meetings are important. Altogether, meetings are important. So one of the things you can do for yourself is to treat meetings as important, and also ensure you see men that God uses, he used in meetings, as special. Are we together? And that's why I'm going to touch it next month in our next series. Yeah, you know, you can actually, you see, I was speaking to the Nigerian church pastor, I think, and Sister Steph a couple on different occasions, maybe probably a year ago thereabout. And I was saying, why was I having issues with how people treated and called or revered their pastor? Why? Association. I remember following, you know, speaking to somebody who was, it's not like I even thought it or I said it, it was not in my mind. You know, but some of the people who I learned that from, you know, you see something that, you know, why do you call your pastor sir, right? When you called your pastor, you've sad him. When you sad your pastor, and you know, I was making, you know, when the devil wants to get into your heart, what he will use more often than not will make it. See, if the devil comes and looks at you and says, "That is fire, go and put your hand," you might not go and put your hand. But what he will use is something that seems to make sense. Why are you fighting people? If you want people to call you by your first name and maybe first letter, say Jay, that's your business. But why do you find people who call their pastor daddy? You see, people who do that, a lot of times, I found out that there's someone in their subconscious that they wish it was them. A lot of times. Altogether, they wish it was them. So in my head, I had to repent of it. I'm like, why am I running with this useless bandwagon? That you don't, someone chooses to call his pastor bishop. Someone chooses to call, for instance, someone chooses to call his pastor papa. Altogether, I say, no, I'm a Gen Z. Gen Z finish you there. Yeah, I mean, you know, this one just, you know, you start seeing people start doing doctrine from the Bible, start saying, you know, you can even call your pastor nickname. Yeah, YB. I'm going to touch the next one. Like I said, yeah, but you see, you can't receive as much from meetings if you don't treat in a very high esteem. Bible says, esteem those who labor amongst you highly. That's one of the best ways to receive and get the best from meetings. Esteem them. There's a honor we have for each other, and there's that which is double honor altogether on account of responsibility in the local church. Altogether, right? So you can, if we're going to create that culture, right? Yeah, when you're speaking to your pastor, not PT. So I think this for Nigerian church. Yeah, I mean, in UK church, we have more people who don't even do that. Yeah, PT. What is PT? PT is two syllables. Are we together? Right? What is pastor? Pastor is two syllables. Why is it heavy to come up from your mouth? We just want to make sure we look like, no, in gospel, I've retracted from those unintelligent approaches to scriptures. I've retracted from it. Yeah, there's a sense of, for your sake, there's a way you will treat your pastor. So when somebody say, good evening, pastor, sir. Yeah, good morning, pastor, sir. Right, you say, why is that? No, I'm not trying to say that, you know, you should fake it. Yes, and you say, yeah, but I'm trying to say, you don't need to look down on people who think they want to revere their pastor. You hear some people say, my man of God. There's people say, there's one again. For instance, there's a church a lot of us might know. Yeah, they don't call their pastors just casually. They say they're highly esteemed. Do you understand? Every statement they make, our highly esteemed pastor, our highly esteemed pastor. You are doing, you know. We just got back from the States. We are in the States. No, we're going to drop all those nonsense and all those nonsense in God's palace. Why? So that you can be able to receive as much as you can from meetings. Let me show you one quick example. Look at Acts 10. I'm going to relate it to what some people did, you know, a few years ago. Right? Now look at Acts 10. Look at Acts 10. We will start seeing things as they are. So nobody is assuming. Look at Acts 10. What's the time now? Ooh. Okay, look at Acts 10. Go all the way to... So look at verse 1. Let's have a quick read. There's a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, he saw in a vision, evidently about the night hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius, you know, when he looked on him, he was afraid. Now, go all through that way. Now, verse 9. Acts 10:9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, right? And drew near into the city. Peter went up into the housetop and prayed about the sixth hour, right? And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and certain vessels descending into him. Now, go all the way to verse, let's leave Peter's narrative. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit of God said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, right? Arise, that's word of knowledge, right? New by the Spirit. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. Now, listen to what happens. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, the just man, and one who feared the Lord and good report, and all of those things, is sent for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and he said, on the next day we will travel. Right? Right? So a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now look at what happened in verse 24. And on the next day, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down. Listen to that. Yeah, that's not woke generation. See, all this. You know, some people, when you see people do this, they say it's culture, is Yoruba culture, is Igbo culture, is you know, we are more tush. No, we'll not buy again. I'm going to allow any of those rubbish, right? Look at what happens. The Bible says Cornelius waited for. So there's nothing wrong in us having someone who God will minister and bless us, right? In having us go to the airport to wait for them. That's what you're saying there. Yeah. You see some people, they go to the airport to go and welcome a special minister that's come to their midst. You say, we're all men. Are we not all men? Are we not all men? We're all men. Oh, we're all men. We're not. You know, that's why I like my pastor. It doesn't go with protocol. It doesn't go to anything. Let me tell you something. Yeah. There's so, now, and like I said, people can take things extreme. But that you want to tackle it does not mean you will not use another extreme to tackle it. The Bible says that they waited for Peter. Cornelius waited for them and his people. That means when pastor is coming to minister to us, there will be some of you I will instruct you need to be there. Yeah, if you like, go and tell your boss that I'm not saying you should go and lie. Go and use all your holiday now and say you don't have holiday left. You will take holiday from your office. Looking at me. You will take holiday from your office and we will go together and go and receive my pastor when he's coming. Yeah, then I will open it to some people who can want to possibly join, but there will be some specific people that must be there. And we're together. Yeah, I won't go there. I'm not going to the airport alone to go and receive my pastor. We will go together. Cornelius went together, right? Because we're going to have a meeting that will change the course of our lives forever. So, let me just tell you, we don't know the days that pastor will come. Yeah, but just ensure that in your days of taking leave, don't go and finish your leave by February. You cough it out from somewhere. Yeah, don't go and finish your leave. Keep out two, three days. Yeah, because if pastor comes there and says, "What's that meeting with us on a Monday morning or on a Tuesday morning?" That's why you say it's a special meeting. Your pastor is smart enough to know not to make Sunday service on Monday. But you see, because of logistics and the only way we can have our lives being impacted, it can be on a Monday. Because of logistics, availability, other factors, it can be on a Tuesday and you will be there. Yeah, you will treat it well. You will not lie at work. You will not say, I'm at work. Let me see. If it's easier for you to just say you want to take your leave and you can do it, you want to take your leave. But let's assume you take your leave. Yeah, you will not lie at work. You will say to your manager, you will say to whoever that requires to hear, right? I have a special meeting. You can say it. You know, I always tell you an example of how, you know, one of the projects I was working on before, when every Saturday people come, I went to the stadium. This one will say, I went to the club. This one will say, I rested and I went to go to visit some families, visit some, you know, church members as well. You know, they didn't even know I pastored. They didn't know I pastored. They didn't know anything about me pastoring. I went to church on Sunday, right? So, and one of the days afterwards, you know, one of the, her name is Joe. She came on the call. I just said, after she spoke to everyone, Josh, how was church? And that's the name you bear on your forehead. Altogether. So there's such a thing called going to receive in honor, with honor. So the Bible says Cornelius, right, went to the gates, the airport gates, the ship gates, and the coast, what do you call it? The seashore, whatever you call it. I'm just using the examples, right? And waited for them. So we know that pastor is landing by two, right? We ensure we are there before two. Are we together? We wait for him. Yeah, right. And had called together his kinsmen and near friends. What is kinsmen and near friends? Fellow church members who had been discipled. Yeah, okay, right. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. What did he do? He fell down at his feet. That's true honor. Together, that's true honor. You see, I saw a video of a pastor who his pastor came to his church, right? And while the pastor was walking in, everybody knelt down on their knees while he was walking in. And I saw a lot of, in our world, we have people who can talk. And that's why there's some things when we do it like that, we're not necessarily need to show the whole world what we are doing. That's our practice in the church altogether. And you start hearing people say, like, no, you say, man, well, man, I wish we knew better. Right, so now look at what happens in verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Who should be shouting, we are all men? It is the pastor, the leader, the reverend, the bishop, yeah, the prophet, the set man for the special meeting that should be shouting, we are all men, not you with your small tongue. Yeah. No, it's not your business. It's not your place. Yeah. So what will an ideal pastor, what will he do? No, don't kneel down. Don't stand up. Just like, but it's not you that will say, I know he will say, don't kneel down, so I will not kneel. No, you will show honor as much as you can, right? To receive the ministry, to receive the special ministry of a special man for a special meeting. That's in your Bible. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think Cornelius would have done to his kinsmen, such that they followed him to do that kind of thing? It means that they spoke highly of the man, Peter. That means Cornelius would have spoken highly of that man to his people. You got the point, right? Yeah. After all, I don't know if Cornelius is a Yoruba man, but we can see Bible says he fell down. Are we together? He fell down at the feet and worshipped him. No. Yeah. So you, the pastor is the one responsible of saying, "I'm tearing my shirt." No, don't do this with our men. But not you with your small tongue. Not you with the small tongue I said earlier was a mistake. No. Yeah. No, that's not your place. Altogether, that's not your place. Yeah. We started saying some things clearly right today. So, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come. Look at that, right? So, Cornelius gathered his men. He found many that were come, right? Together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man of Jew to keep company, right? So, therefore came unto her without saying, verse 29, as soon as I was sent, I asked for them. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. He gives the narrative of what was happening and sent people to him. Now, look at verse 34. Then Peter, the man of God, yeah, you know, your pastor can be seen as my, you know, you can call your pastor my man of God. I was together, for your pastor is your man of God. Are we together? All right. So when people are saying, you know, my highly esteemed man of God, God's man over my life, don't think of it as over the bar. Leave them to what they think will keep their heart in check. You get the point? Yeah. Yeah. Because why am I teaching this? Because that's the best way to get from special meetings altogether. So Peter opened it. So what you can see happening in Acts 10 is a special meeting. You see the point? It's a special meeting. Because no record of Peter consistently now being in the house of Cornelius every weekly, for continuous special meetings. No, this was a special meeting. So Peter opened his mouth in verse 34 and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but every nation he that feared him and walked in righteousness. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace unto them. So Peter continued preaching. Look at what happened. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 39. And we are witness of all these things which he did both in the land of Judea and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree. Look at verse 40. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him mightily, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of spirit and death. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall not receive remission of sins. Look at verse 44. Bible says, while Peter yet spoke these words, are we together? Right? While Peter yet spoke these words, Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The only way, right, that Peter will be teaching and the Spirit of God will flow and they will receive it is because their heart was in the right place. Altogether. So that's a special meeting. All right, a special meeting. Yeah, Peter will be teaching. He said, this is what happened. We are witnesses of him in Jerusalem. We are this, we are that. Bible says, while Peter yet spoke. You know, so we're going to be having, you know, when we're going to be having our special meeting with Pastor, whilst he yet speaks, right, we will drop our ego in our pocket. You know, there's sometimes you can leave your ego in your pocket, right? I'm not saying you should wear it afterwards. You can actually burn it and burn it whilst you put it in. Are we together? Right? But we're going to have conversations of whilst he yet spoke. Right, for that's going to be the meeting of my life. Are we together? Right. So when people are praying for meeting, you see them sharing the flyer. You see them say, "This is my meeting." You to even share the flyer itself is problem. All together, yeah. To even share the flyer, to even allow the world know this is a local church is problem, yeah. And in your problem that is a serious problem, right? You will still be mocking people. Say, oh, "Is it that serious? What Jesus died, he was resurrected. What is it?" I beg you. I was saying, so I keep my social media space for me and mine. I keep my space for me and mine and all that is mine. Okay. Well, and while Peter yet spoke, so you hear people say things like, "Oh, this is my meeting. My life will not change. My life will not be the same. My life, it is a scriptural thing to do." Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? You are working on your mind, and it is taught in scriptures that the mind of one needs to be prepared ahead of meetings. Altogether, this is my meeting. This is my turning point. My life will never remain the same as a meeting. And when you say it, you mean it. You know, sometimes when you say this, let it come as a conviction from a place of prayer. Where you know that, you see, in this meeting you are going for, you're going to have utterances directed to your life. You're going to have words spoken to you. You're going to have words said over you. You're going to have direction given to you. That from that day, your evangelism changes, takes a new turn, right? You start having free flow of the Spirit while you are teaching God's word. And you start having experiences whereby you are teaching God's word and men are falling under the power. You start having situations where a man says he doesn't believe in tongues and you lay hands on him and he begins speaking in tongues. I went together. Why? Because you were in a meeting. Because you were in a meeting. There is no day. For every time I've gotten better in the gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, it is because of specific meetings. I can trace every time into meetings. So sometimes you know what I do, right? I know myself. So if I go for a special meeting and we have a believers meeting, maybe a mini believers meeting before hands are laid. Right, I always try to take note of how sensitive I became after hands were laid. So I always look forward. I went together, intentionally look for it, right? Looking for what has happened, what has changed. Bible says, while Peter yet spoke these words. That means Peter has not, he has not even finished his meeting. He has not completed his meeting notes, but the Holy Ghost fell. Why? Because the hearts of men were ready to receive from their man of God. From their pastor, from someone who they held in high esteem. That's all I'm saying, right? Yeah, that's all I'm saying. All together, that's all I'm saying. You get the point? So while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word, and they of circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the Holy Ghost. What will make the Holy Ghost get poured on the Gentiles, even though they were not partakers in the real sense, right? I'm talking about the ideologies of the people. They felt like the Gentiles are not partakers of what the Spirit of God is giving. But the Gentiles didn't care. They spoke about their man of God. They exalted their man of God. Yeah? You don't tell people are talking ill of your man of God. Yeah? The moment you can allow someone to speak about your man of God, right? The moment you can allow it, I can tell you that from that moment, if you don't correct your heart, you will stop receiving from that gift. You will stop receiving from that man. You will stop being blessed from that man, right? So don't allow church. Yeah, somebody tells you something. Oh, your pastor did this. Let's manage your thing. We are all men. As you just finish that statement, men, just change your pastor. Yeah, except you. You know, sometimes you will do those kind of things. You will get repentant and go and fast and pray. Are we together? Go and fast and pray to rework on your mind to normal. Altogether, Bible says that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I was together. You see, this is one of those meetings, I can tell you for free, right? This is one of those meetings where things just takes a different turn than you would have expected. I honestly was going to use this meeting to talk about the several kinds of meeting, but right in the middle, right? The emphasis on special meetings just came around. I'm going to teach on this probably a week after, maybe on Sunday or, you know, the next Sunday afterwards, right? But it just happened. And that's just, that's what happens when we allow the Holy Ghost to flow. Altogether, that's what happens when you have the Holy Ghost flow. So Bible says that, you see, and they heard them speak with tongues and they magnified God. Are we together? So they saw Peter in the office that Peter was in. Are we together? They saw Peter. You see, there's a sense of sacredness you will have. Are we together? There's a sense of sacredness you will have in on the back of your mind. Yeah, you can say, oh, we are all men. Yeah, we are all men. Nobody is infallible. Everybody is this. But that's no way you pick. It's the pastor that needs to keep reminding himself, I'm but a vessel. I'm a man as you. I'm just privileged. What do you think Elisha saw that was asking for a double portion? I'm going to talk about that in the next series. What do you think he saw? Oh, there's nothing like double portion in the Christian faith. For in Christ dwells the Godhead bodily, and we in him in me. You know, I'm going to watch this teaching again. I'm sure I'm going to burst into laughter. Yeah, you know, in Christ, what Elisha did not know new creation reality. He didn't know the man in Christ. He saw, you know, they saw ahead, but they could not see beyond their nose. Why? Because the men were ahead. You start talking nonsense. All together. What did Elisha see? And he said, my master, I want a double portion of my oven. What did Jacob see and say? I will never let you go unless you, you know, there are some mindsets you will have. There are some conversations you will, there are some slants you would have that is for your sanity. It's for your sake. All together. So when we come for meetings together, we are praying that, in this meeting we'll be blessed. What you do? You pray, you close your eyes. Don't mind what you look like. Don't mind what you feel like. You give your devotion, give your heart, give your all. Like I always tell you, I don't like what I look like when I minister in the things of the Spirit. I've watched myself a couple times and I said I will not watch myself again. I was together. So I don't care. So if you like, don't like it, that's your business. I was together. But for me, I want to ensure that I receive from God all that he has in store for me. I'm going to end with this note. I traveled for a meeting. I don't know if that brother is online today. I traveled for a meeting, right? You know, and I was just moving around the meeting and during the break. And after the break, I was going into my hall, you know, and to just rest. And you know, just in between that, you know, somebody had reached out to me, right? And the way the person behaved, you could tell that the person he knew me from, altogether, had spoken well about me as his pastor. Altogether. You know, yes, the pastor will try as much not to ensure that is what, but the truth is that there's nobody in this life who will not, as much as possible, give you all he can when you can display honor. Honor is key. Honor is key. Some of you have locked some doors in your life because of this honor. So, you know, in this generation now, you're in a church where, for instance, your pastor is motivating you to do work and you're doing jobs, you're getting jobs, you're getting career, you're pushing, we're all pushing. You know, I just feel like you've got everything you have. You know, there's a thing called honor. Yeah, I remember someone, I can't remember where I heard that, you know, someone said that. It says honor is one of the keys that can unlock. See, honor is one of the universal keys that can unlock almost any door. Honor. You know, and I'm just going to end this meeting today instructing your heart. Ensure, don't join the bandwagons of people in our generation who are trying to sound woke, but yet being very stupid. Don't join that bandwagon. Altogether, right? Yeah. Honor who God has placed over your life. That's one of the ways. Yeah. One of the best ways. That's the best way to approach relationships. Best way to approach meetings. Remember, we've understood God is going to use man. Man is God's method. Man will always be God's method. Man will always be God's method. Man will always be God's method. And since man is God's method, it means that man will communicate deposits. See, there are deposits of the spirits that you get from men, you get from meetings.
Are we together? Prepare your mind in the coming days. We look forward to being blessed and instructed by God's Spirit. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening. You see, between now and Sunday, please take this teaching, listen to it again, okay? Like I said, I'm going to do it myself. Are we together, right? Listen to it again. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. And surely listen to it at least once before Sunday. Get your heart, right, in a place to receive as much from God's men, that the men that God has put over you, or the men that God has put around you, right, get yourself in a place to receive. And we're together. Like I said, no two meetings are the same. Remember, we have a usual, service from believers meeting, which was last Sunday. But remember the Sunday before, I was just about to minister, and it just became strong in our heart that we just have a believers meeting. In that believers meeting, there were certain things that were said that changed the course of certain people who have reached out to me personally. In God's palace, we don't have what you call testimony time or times where, but in that meeting, some words were just said, and things that were just said just changed the course of certain things for certain people. And we're together, right? And that's what meetings are. Imagine that person some of those people, it wasn't just one person who got those specific special instructions and also blessings of God as well, from those meetings. Decided to say, I'm not going to pray my mind to receive another thing just because believers meeting is on second Sunday. No. But I got spirit, just got certain prayer teams, certain things done, and it just became, it's for your benefit. Well, I'll see you well on Sunday. Ensure that you stay joyful, stay with a heart of honor, stay anticipating to receive from the next Christian meeting we're going to have physically, and just ensure that you put your heart in the right place. Love you all. Cheers. Good night.